Welcome back to Idol Talk. By popular demand, we're bringing back the Battle of the Stands, but this time with a little twist. We put two Idol Talk faves head to head. In this episode, we cover the recent comeback albums of these two iconic groups, NCT 127's album Two Baddies and Blackpink's album Born Pink. We dive deep into our overall impressions, the charting data, the albums, and more. So stay tuned.
Hi everyone, welcome back to Idol Talk, where we explore South Korean pop culture one obsession at a time. My name is Nathan and I'm your host.
Hey everyone, I'm Ashley and I am excited for our Penguin DO from EXO's new K-drama called Bad Prosecutor on KBS. It debuts on October 5th, and it's about like a prosecutor who's DO is a prosecutor, and he is like trying to prosecute bad guys in whatever means necessary. So like he's not like a traditional like uppity prosecutor. He's more like rebellious. He goes in the street and like fights bad guys, like physically fights them. He in the trailer he says that criminals are not human, so he treats them as less than.
It's Satan Sue.
Yeah, he's a little bit crazy. So we'll see. It's a good side of. It's a different side of him that right. We don't normally see. So.
Yeah, one of the still trailers, or one of the kind of photos that I saw of him, he has, like, fried hair.
Yeah, it's like sticking up.
Yeah, as if he just got, like, electrocuted or something.
He just looks crazy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyways, we're gonna watch that one.
Yeah, we do. Yes, right. We do.
And we'll review it.
Okay. All right, Casey.
Hey everyone, it's Casey, your co-host, and I just want to congratulate Jennie of Blackpink and Taeyong of BTS on their dating. I don't know if it's fully confirmed, but there are supporting photos to this dating rumor, and obviously I'm not advocating for anyone's privacy to be violated, but while initially I was shocked at this pairing, I think I like it now. Sorry, Sammy. Sammy is our frequent guest, and she's Taeyong's actual wife. I will put respect on her name, but at the end of the day, I think I like this couple.
Can you describe the photos to me? Like, where are they?
So there's a photo where he went to a Blackpink party. I think it was for their album release. And there's like this blurry dark photo. It looks like they're dancing together. Her arms are like around his shoulders and neck, and his hands are on like around her waist. And then there's also these photos where they're like at a zoo or something. It looks like they.
Oh, is this in the US or is it in Korea?
I'm pretty sure this is in Korea. So they're at this like bird sanctuary or something, and they're like playing with animals. Yeah, it's like a day date. She doesn't look like she's wearing makeup, and they look really comfortable together. And that's why I like these. Yeah.
I mean, this news, right? The news seems like it's been buzzing for a while, but like nothing's been like confirmed.
Nothing's
right?
been confirmed. Yeah, these are don't sue me. This might not age well if it turns out to be false, but I don't know.
It does seem like they're just kind of like, we're probably a thing and we don't need to say anything about it.
I don't know. Yeah. Jennie Kim is a homie hopper. I just want to say, like, she is all around town.
That's true. I mean, Kai was...
G-Dragon.
I forgot about Kai.
She doesn't seem to have a type.
I did forget, but
you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
fuckboy.
Yeah, Kai's not. I feel like Kai's
I would
not.
No. Kai is so sweet. I wouldn't call him. Yeah, he looks like a fuckboy, but he's not a fuckboy. He does.
Yeah, but
he's
deep down, he's very sweet.
No, he's such a sweetheart. Like, you know that trend on TikTok where it's like looks like a cinnamon roll.
Yeah,
could kill you.
Oh,
Kai, it could kill you, but is a cinnamon roll.
Yes, yes.
I think that same thing could be said about V too.
Yeah. He's also been wilding out on his Instagram, posting like his bare back. He's posting, he did a Vogue shoot where he's got on some tiny little shorts.
Mm.
This is a very interesting era to be ARMY, I gotta say.
Fascinating. Okay. All right. We could probably do a whole episode on that, you know, if there's more details that
honestly,
come out.
Yeah, hot take, hot talk.
So I actually have a shout out that I wanted to do before we begin the actual episode.
Okay.
And mine is also a congratulations, but not to like a couple or anything. Okay. Mine is a congratulations to two people. One is IU, who just finished her Seoul Stadium, Olympic Stadium concert. 70,000 people at that concert, so that's really, really awesome, and not a lot of people get to perform. And I had a friend that went, and Ashley, you also sent this photo. She was in a hot air balloon.
Yes.
I saw that. It was so cute.
I was like, this is, like, the prettiest thing, most creative thing ever.
Our queen.
The fact that she had a venue big enough to accommodate a fucking hot air balloon. Like, maybe for real right now.
I was like, hot air balloon, like, this is some next level. Like, I love it for her. I mean, she deserves it. But yes, I wanted to congratulate her. And in the same vein, I also wanted to congratulate the Dreamies for also finishing their concert there.
Yay.
Two nights at the same venue, 70,000 people. And they were the first K-pop group to basically perform there since BTS. So this is Dreamies. Like a really huge, this is like a huge moment kind of for them, and they kind of are, I feel like they're gonna start charting, like new, not charting, like music charting, like start going forth into some kind of new era. And I'm really excited for what,
honestly, NCT Dream consistently puts out bops, so I wouldn't be surprised at the trajectory of this subunit.
Yeah
I am very excited. Those are my two shout outs before we begin.
Very good.
Anyways, we are here today not to talk about Dream. Well, maybe some members of Dream, but we're here with a variant of our Battle of the Stands series. And we decided to kind of put two of our hosts together to represent two large groups in the industry that just so happened to come back on basically the exact same week.
Same
day. Yeah, like very, very recently. So we're going to discuss the comebacks and the comeback albums for one, NCT 127, two baddies, one Porsche.
Get the fuck out of here.
And then, of course, we also have a new Blackpink album with their title track, Shut Down. And play the violin piece right here. So we'll go ahead and, Ashley, you can go ahead and tell the listeners who you are representing, and I will go ahead and pass it over to you first.
Okay, so I am representing NCT 127's new album, Two Baddies. It was released on the same day as the Blackpink album, September 16th. They actually released the title track on the 15th and then the album on the 16th. So around the same time as the Blackpink release. So before I talk about the song and the music video, their title track, Two Baddies, I just want to quote this review website that I found online. TheReviewGeek.com. He says, or she, I don't actually know what the gender of the writer, but anyway, the article says the lead single Two Baddies is for sure an NCT title track that is their main strength as much as their main weakness.
Fascinating.
Yes, Two Baddies doesn't sound like anything 127 has put out before, yet it has that flamboyant and polarizing quality that characterizes NCT.
That is very true.
Yes. And that is precisely why, though you will like the song. If you've enjoyed previous 127 title tracks, you will not like it if you are not a fan of their sound. Polarizing, flamboyant. This is the final line that I'm going to quote from them. This track feels like a dentist drill to the skull. And if that's not something you usually enjoy, this song is not for you.
Oh my gosh.
Which is totally true. Like, God. The song Two Baddies, it's a very intense, like, hip-hop dance song. Lots of addictive signature synth, powerful rap, powerful vocals, very lively, and it's showing a very confident side of 127. I mean, the song is called Two Baddies, and their main chorus is Two Baddies, One Porsche. So basically the song is like, it's about like the members saying like, look at me, I'm so fucking rich and cool, like everyone is jealous. You wish you were me. Is basically
so. I have a question.
Yeah,
I'm going to play mediator here. I guess I'll talk about my own personal thoughts later. But I'm basically going to play mediator for Battle of the Stands this time around. So, what does like I don't get it. Like one Porsche is just like luxury. Is that what it's trying to portray?
Yeah, because Porsche is like
okay. Yeah,
it's like
it's just like oh, I'm hot shit. Basically,
like it's just a very expensive luxury car that everyone knows. Okay, is very expensive. Okay, great. And it's a two seater, which is why it says two baddies, because only two people can fit.
So it's
into
like
in the Porsche.
So is it like them and their partner or whoever?
I had this same conversation with someone else because like,
who are the two baddies here?
Normally, like, are we talking in like English slang? You don't really when you say someone is a baddie, like you're normally describing someone. You're talking about someone else, like
right.
You don't really say like I'm a baddie. I mean, I guess you could say that I'm a baddie, but like normally, like you say it as the descriptive of someone else. So
correct.
When they say
typically a female.
Right. And typically a female. And so when in the chorus, when they say two baddies, one Porsche, my first thought was like, who are they talking about? Like them and someone else? Or are they talking about two people? Like not them?
Right.
I don't know. I assume that they're in the car and there's another person.
And there's another baddie with them.
Another baddie with them. And they're two baddies total. Like...
One plus one.
Yeah, exactly. So,
I mean, that's the thing about like K-pop is like sometimes we want it to make sense, and like sometimes it's just like
nonsensical.
It's fine to be nonsensical, right. And like ultimately we still get it. Like they're trying to be like, I'm a bad bitch.
Like I'm fucking rich and I'm cool.
Yeah,
yeah. Basically that.
Maybe Jungwoo's the baddie. And everyone else is too.
There are a lot of baddies in the music video. So,
okay.
To talk about the music video, the overarching theme of the video is like Fast and Furious car theme. Mm-hmm. The title of the song is Jilju, which translates to race, like to race. And so they're racing cars. There's race cars in the music video. There's obviously a Porsche. I watched this video on YouTube. It's a reaction and review video by the channel Form of Therapy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love him.
He's good.
Yeah,
he's great.
He's pretty good. And he described the music video as an American-style video. He says that K-pop music videos, and I agree too, they tend to be more like theatrical. There's a lot of transitions, a lot of elements, a lot of like very built out sets. And in this music video, you'll notice that, it's a lot more simplistic. They have like the huge stage, platform stage, where they have the outline of the car, like, floating above the members as they do their whole group dance. They have those those stages where it's like the neon floor and it's just the members like doing their group dance again. Then there's like the space tunnel where each of the members like do their own solo rap or like solo verses. And then there's them just like with either a Porsche or a race car. And the background is just like, it's a very like obviously large and dark, deep background. So he says that it makes sense that 127 styled the video in this way because they just added two American shows on their tour. And so they're obviously trying to appeal more to the American artist or American audience with their music video and like how the song is composed. Like Americans really like more hip hop music, which is why the song also may focus on the rap. Like there are
elements. The title track.
Yeah, the title track. There are elements of like the power vocals in the SM formula way, but it is very hip hop heavy.
Right.
I have the top 10 things that I've noticed about the music video. I'll start with one that I didn't like. Everything else I like except one. And the one that I didn't like is Jaehyun rapping. Why the fuck is he rapping when he is a vocal?
He's trying new things.
He is. He is a vocal. I don't know. Yeah, I didn't buy it.
I mean, he's a good rapper.
Yeah, he's a solid. Oh, I was going to say he's a solid vocal.
No, he's an amazing vocal.
He should be showcasing that. Yeah.
He does showcase his vocals in the other tracks, but like why the fuck is he rapping at all? Anyway. Whatever. Next, the rest are all reasons why I love the music video. Johnny and Yuta shirtless. Jungwoo is also shirtless and he's sitting on a throne with like a bedazzled jean outfit. It's amazing.
With like a coat.
Yes, like fur.
Fur coat. Yes.
We got Doyoung sleeveless. We got Haechan red hair. Taeyong with the cane in the space tunnel, and there's like an eyeball on the cane. I don't know. It's weird. And then Jaehyun and Jungwoo, black and white in the rain. Much needed. And then lastly, the best part of the song, in my opinion, was the ending. Na na na, zip zip it and zip it and close.
Yeah.
I cannot believe this pivot.
I love that part. Okay, here's what I'll say. So just really briefly, before I listened to the whole song, I saw that NCT had posted. Actually, maybe I listened to the song once and I was like, oh, this is a lot for me as someone that really loves pop ballads and things like that. And but then I saw that NCT127 on their Instagram had posted like this video. And I was like, oh, what's this? Like, why is there girls in pink shirts? And then I was like, oh, who is this? It's two members of Girls' Generation doing the na 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 na. I was like, I'm sold.
Yeah.
That's all it took, because that's also the best part of the song.
Yes.
In my opinion.
Yes.
So Sohyun and Hyoyeon saved it or introduced the song to me.
What?
And I appreciate it.
There you go.
That's it.
Yeah. I saw that video and I was like, this is Hyo like returning the favor to 127 for all of them like doing her dessert TikToks.
Yep.
Okay.
Sure, you gotta repay it.
She is.
She gotta pay it forward. I mean, we'll pay it back. I don't know what. Yeah, whatever. What the, she's older, so I don't know.
Reciprocate.
There we go.
Okay. So about the album itself, this is a full length album that came after their last full length album, Sticker, which is in 2021. It's amazing that 127, all they release are full length albums. Like, I don't even remember the last time they came out with a mini album.
Yeah, they're doing fulls now.
It's like, why do a full, like a mini album when you're 127? You could do it all. Yeah. You know? So the album consists of 12 songs. In the group's preferred genres, R&B, hip-hop, and pop. The article that I referenced earlier from the reviewgeek.com, they called it the three genre 127 love triangle, because all of their songs like have some element of R&B, hip-hop, and pop all fused together. The songs are, there are 12, and the two that I want to point out are Time Lapse, which is track number 3, and track number 5, Designer. Both those songs were co-written by Taeyong and Mark.
Interesting.
I also want to note that all members are on all songs. There aren't any, like,
unit songs or
solo songs or whatever. Like, everyone's on everything. And then to tie it back to what's trending, there are some 90s and 90s style songs. So if you want to hear those, there's like a hip hop 90s song, which is Vitamin, and then like a funky groove type of 90s song, which is 127 Time Stops.
Ooh.
Yes, I recommend those.
Love Time Stops. I love Time Stops.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the physical album. So they released 3 versions. There's actually only 2 versions, but one version has 2 versions, if that makes sense. So the 2 names of the versions are Faster and Two Baddies. The Faster version comes in like the regular like SM distributed version, and then there's a Target exclusive, which the cover is different, but I think the contents are the same. I don't know. The Target exclusive album is $24.99. And then the...
Well, great. We're getting some great details.
And then the Two Baddies version, which is like the orange one, which I bought, is $17.99. So there's like a $8 difference. No, $6 difference. I don't know why Target upcharges that for theirs, but maybe there's more stuff.
You know, they got to print those Target exclusive stickers.
Yeah. Yeah. So I bought the Two Baddies orange version, and the outfits that they're wearing in that is like what I describe as surfer swag. It's basically like there's surfboards in the background. They're wearing tropical, but they're also wearing like Nike dunks and like trucker hats and things like that. So it's very streetwear if you were at like the coast. San Diego, if you will, but like more vibey. I wrote that the concept gives me Coco Bop by EXO.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah. The physical album contains 80 pages of photos. So like...
Goodness.
Yeah.
Goodness.
Lots of photos.
All right.
15 pages of credits and lyrics where they're just like listing the songs, who's on them, and then the lyrics. A poster of the cover of the physical album in like a vertical poster. Another poster with the full group horizontally. So 2 posters. A postcard, which is just like a little cardboard, like bigger version of a photo card. In the version that I got Tail. Let me show it to you guys. So Tail has like spiky hair. I'll mail this to you, Casey. Spiky hair, an orange yellow like Hawaiian shirt, blue sunglasses in his hair. See, it's really giving Coco Bop. Like I just see Coco Bop. It comes with a sticker pack, and the stickers have like one oval sticker of each member. Johnny notably has his abs featured in his sticker. So that's a
little nipple.
That's a plus. And then lastly, it comes with 2 photo cards. And the ones that I got are Mark and Haechan.
Goodness, your pulls.
I know, I really came up.
I'll buy that Haechan one off you. Please,
your poles.
On the back.
You're so blessed.
I know. On the back, it has their signature and then a quote. Mark's, or like a message. Mark's message is in Korean, and I can't read his handwriting, so I'm not going to attempt. And then Haechan's card is in, his note is in English. It says, "I know you want it. This is what you want. Let's get it." So I'll mail Tae-yo and Haechan to you.
Yay, thank you.
You're welcome.
So kind.
Okay, last, I wish I got a Johnny photo card, honestly. I might buy the Target exclusive and the other versions, because if I were to get the Johnny version and it has, like, shirtless Johnny in it, frame that shit, you know, like, right next to my desk, right next to the photo of my real son.
I love it.
Johnny. Okay, so the last little bit I'll say about the 127 album is on how it charted and the amount of sales, or the amount of albums they sold. So the album charted at number, or it debuted at number 2 on the worldwide iTunes chart, album chart. It hit number 1 on iTunes top album chart in Magnolia and Uzbekistan. Ranked among the top 3 in numerous countries, including Thailand, Hong Kong, Indonesia, Malaysia, the Philippines, etc. Debuted at number 15 on the Melon Weekly album chart just 3 days after release. And then the song itself, Two Baddies, landed in the top 10 on iTunes top songs charts in several countries, including Mongolia, Colombia, Thailand, Indonesia, and Uzbekistan. Uzbekistan, they're 127
stands. I can represent.
I guess they are into it.
And then the song, as of today, this recording, September 19th, it has 60 million views on YouTube.
Awesome.
Then lastly, according to the data released by Han Tae-yo, the first day sales for Two Baddie accumulated to 490,000 copies sold, becoming the second highest first day sales of the group behind Sticker, which had over 760,000 album sales on the first day. So it's performing like a little bit less, 100,000 less, no, almost 300,000 less than Sticker in terms of album sales. But honestly, I think this album is better than the Sticker album. So
I have some thoughts about that, but
yeah, I'll save my thoughts for our discussion portion.
Right, right. Okay, so Ashley took her first hit. So I will now pass it to Casey.
All right, yes. So as you may have guessed, I am representing Blackpink's sophomore studio album, Born Pink, which, as Ashley said earlier, released on September 16th, the same day as NCT 127. Also notably, they announced a world tour. I think it's supposed to start
pretty soon
and end in October next year, but I don't have the exact dates on hand.
October of next year?
Yeah, dude, it's supposed to be like the biggest world tour of a K-pop girl group. Jesus. Or something like that.
I mean, that'll be good for them because they just came back. So
yes, yes. So the title track and music video, we discussed the pre-release single Pink Venom in episode 89. So we won't be getting too into that in depth in this episode. That song was a pre-release single. I don't understand the concept of a pre-release single versus like just a regular, because you know, most artists, don't they just release a single ahead of an album anyway?
Yeah,
I think so. That's like American style.
Okay, well, if you want to hear our thoughts on Pink Venom, like, you'll find it in episode 89. My stance has not changed at all, so I have nothing new to report.
I will say really briefly that I didn't like it, but I do-ish now.
Okay, I'll take it. I'll take it.
Yeah.
Because
it's
a polarizing release.
I like it now.
Okay, good. Thank you.
I don't think it's the best Blackpink like song ever, like what you think, but I think it's good.
Okay, I don't. We'll get into it.
Okay, okay. Yeah. This is not an episode about Pink Venom. Go to 89. All right.
Yes. So the title track for the album is Shut Down, which is actually really popular as far as Blackpink releases go, where Pink Venom was kind of polarizing with with fans and audiences. Shut Down, from my impressions, is doing really well. A lot of people really like it. So the music video for that references a lot of previous Blackpink music videos, but in a way that like shows growth, like elevated. An example of that is where in Do-Do-Do-Do-Do, Jisoo trips and she falls in front of paparazzi, whereas in Shutdown, she's confidently snapping photos of herself with like, just, you know what I mean? The parallels show them in a baddie phase, I guess. Okay, here we go, using the word baddie. So
all of a sudden, everyone's using that word again.
Yeah, so the song itself is like supposed to be like talking to their haters, just being like, we don't really need to cater or like feel beat down by our haters or the people who are naysayers, because they shut it down, you know what I mean? What I really liked about this song, and it's the same fucking reason that pulled me into Red Velvet's Feel My Rhythm, is a sampling of classical music. So this song weaves the classical composition, La Campanella, originally by Niccolò Paganini, and they mix it with a hip-hop beat, and it's like woven throughout the whole song. So they don't just sample it for like a little part of the song, like it goes throughout, and it's such a sharp contrast that it's like kind of an earworm. Yes, Nathan?
So you know how, okay, so I'm trying to get your perspective on what this classical mix is, because as you mentioned in Red Velvet's Feel My Rhythm, it was like classical trap.
Yeah.
So is this one just more like classical, like hip hop? Like, what would you describe it as?
Yeah, I would describe it as the same, but kind of more of
like more like edgy, hip-hop. Obviously.
Yeah, because
that's not what Red Velvet went for.
No.
Yeah.
I would say it's along the same vein, the same intent, I guess. Mm-hmm. But where Feel My Rhythm is kind of soft and like feminine, this one is like edgy and like bad bitch girl crush energy. Yeah. Right. Yeah, and it really evokes that in the music video visuals and like the rap breaks as well. And I will say that this, I think what makes this song really have appeal is that it breaks from the typical Teddy Park formula.
Hmm. What is the Teddy Park formula?
You know how like all of his songs kind of follow the same kind of, it's the same formula. There's that like, it's like a bombastic, I guess, is how they described it.
Like the horns.
Like, yeah, just the noise.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And then the song also doesn't have a bridge. That was something that I noticed people like repeating in the comments, that they like that it doesn't have a bridge. I'm not too versed. I don't know why I'm on this podcast, honestly. I'm not too versed in like music
terminology.
I mean, that itself is different because songs have bridges generally. Yeah.
I have a question. Ashley? Did Teddy produce this song?
He's credited, but
he's just trying new things.
Yeah, the composers say Teddy at 24, lyricist Teddy, Danny Chung, Vince, and the producers 24. But it is very different, and I really like it. I think I like it a lot more than Pink Venom, but I still really love Pink Venom. Anyway, so as of this recording, the music video is at 90 million views, which is crazy because it's only been 3 days.
That is just insane.
But that's the power of Blackpink. They can be chilling for 2 years and then come back, and it's like they chart and get views like they never left.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think,
or maybe because they build up the demand. I don't know.
Well, I think they build up a desire, and the fans do go crazy when they do release something because they don't normally release something. Like, didn't they go all of 2021 with Nada?
Yeah.
Or was it? Yeah, right. So that's not standard for K-pop groups that are coming back once or twice a year or three or four times a year.
Or just never go away.
Or just never go away.
Yeah.
So yeah, I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, it is really interesting. And it's such a, it's definitely, I've always felt like it was a shame that Blackpink doesn't have as many comebacks as other groups, because
it is a shame.
Each of these
It is a shame.
Yeah, each of these women are so, so talented. And we're, even in their solo work, we're not getting a lot. Like, Lisa had how many? 2 songs?
Yeah.
Did Jenny had solo, and then what happened, you know?
Yeah.
And I get that they're focusing on other projects as well. So I guess it's really not my place to make this demand on them, if what they're, I don't know, what are they,
if what they want to do is what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
They're social media influencers that also sing.
Yeah, and perform.
Yeah.
I have a note on like the music videos, and this is kind of tying NCT 127 back into. So when I was trying to look at the view counts today, I was like, totally unsurprising, Blackpink is at 90 million. Like, I was recently talking to a friend, like, they were asking me, like, oh, I didn't know that it was going to be so hard. This is a non-K-pop fan talking, right? She goes, oh, it's like, I just didn't know it was going to be so hard to get Blackpink tickets. And I was like, are you? Like, oh, you do know that. And I had to relook. I had to relook at this to verify, like, the data. But Blackpink literally has the second most viewed K-pop video of all time behind Psy.
Yeah.
So, like, this is very unsurprising that they're at 90 million after 3 days.
Yeah.
Something that I'll also say, like, really quick, though, is that I thought that, like, 127, they're, like, really popular, per se, but 60 million for them also is extremely high. Like, these are two groups that are basically going at it, like, as head-to-head as possible, even though I thought that Blackpink's kind of status, right, as kind of an outlier in the K-pop world would have just completely clobbered them.
Yeah.
Like, in terms of view counts. But that's actually not a clobber at all. Like, at 127 being at 60 mil.
Yeah.
So, good for them, both. Anyways, Casey, sorry.
It's okay. So, getting into the track list, this is an 8-track album, which was kind of disappointing for me because I was hoping for a lot more. Like, a bit, like, a full-length album would be nice, you know? But that's okay.
They did frame it as a full-length album, though, right?
Yeah, I think I expected it to be a lot more because there was a lot of hype around this being, like, a full-length album. I think I saw tweets a long time ago about this one producer, Ryan Tedder, that he was working on writing songs with the members. And then from my research in preparation of this episode, I don't think any of those songs made it onto the track. So, like, where are these songs? Like, what happened to them, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, so the 8 tracks are Pink Venom, Shut Down, Type of Girl, Yeah, 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 Hard to Love, The Happiest Girl, Tally, and Ready for Love. Type of Girl is my second favorite song off the album, or I guess third if we're talking about Pink Venom. But Becca Boom wrote this song, so if you like Lisa's Money, La Lisa, Boom Bayah, and Whistle, then you're definitely going to like Type of Girl. And then for Yeah Yeah Yeah, Jisoo and Rosé participated in writing that song.
Oh, I really like that song.
Yeah. It's nice to get some...
Sorry, which of the girls were they? Which ones?
Jisoo and Rosé.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. And then I do want to... I read this random thing, side note on Jisoo, because, you know, she constantly... Fans feel like she's not getting, yes, like, the line distribution, and they want justice for Jisoo. I saw this thing where she was talking about her, like, her struggles with having a solo release is, like, she doesn't really know what types of music she wants to do. She's, because she says that she can do a lot of different, like, types of vibes, so she's kind of still trying to figure that out. So... I hope that means that there is solo work coming out. She just has to pick a direction and go there, or someone picks a direction for her and goes there. I don't know how it works at YG, but I do want justice for Jisoo, yes, as well. But it's nice that she gets to write, co-write, and participate in the production of music that she makes.
It's so she's so obviously getting shafted by their title tracks. She's put in the back of the choreography. She gets the least amount of lines in the song. Like, justice for Jisoo.
I love Jisoo, so.
I know. I love her voice so much. And she has range. So I'm like, what is going on here?
I mean, she's gorgeous, too.
It's because it's the Jennie Kim show. Like, Jennie Kim featuring Lisa and co. Like.
Okay.
That's true.
Ashley, I did not ring your bell.
I'm sorry.
All right. Okay. Let me get through this, and then we can go on our respective rants.
Ashley, so, I did not ring your bell.
I can't.
Physical album. Okay. Physical album. There are four versions of the album.
Wow.
A box set, a kit, a vinyl, and a digital download. So the album, the physical album, was reported to be made with Forest Stewardship Council certified low carbon, eco-friendly paper, soybean oil ink, and eco-friendly coating. In addition, the disc in its kit format uses biodegradable plastic, and the plastic of the packaging and bag are made of ecological resin extracted from corn starch. Mm. So,
YG trying to be green.
Yeah, they're trying to reduce their impact on the environment. And it, you know, with the amount that Blinks are buying these albums, like, it's probably for the best that they're eco-friendly.
So, I was going to say, I don't know, but with the amount that people are buying, I don't know if that environmental offset is doing anything. But
yeah,
good try.
Yeah, let's examine the carbon footprint of the manufacturing process and the shipping process, and then we'll see how much is offset by this eco-friendly coating.
Exactly.
So the box set version has pink, black, and gray variations, each with a packing box, 80-page photo book, accordion lyrics sheet, photo cards, postcards, two instant films, and a sticker. Mm. I watched a lot of unboxings. Unfortunately, I didn't participate in the album purchasing process because I'm poor now.
I mean,
the album is expensive. It's like $50.
Is it worth it, in your opinion?
I mean, I can always constitute the purchase of an album. Let's be real. If I wasn't planning a wedding, I would buy it. I would buy one version just to own it.
Yeah.
Right.
Especially because it comes with two Polaroids, and they look really legit. And I love a good idol Polaroid, let me tell you. And I bet that shit is going for hella money on eBay.
Oh, yeah.
The kit version, it allows buyers to listen to the album on their smartphones, which I don't understand that part because I can also listen to the album on my smartphone for $16 a month on Spotify.
Yeah,
so what is this?
For free on YouTube.
Yes, yes. So it contains a set of 12 photo cards, lyric and credit sheet, and a random Polaroid card. Maybe this one is cheaper than the full box set. And then there's a pink vinyl. It's a special edition set, and it's supposed to come out on December 30th of this year. And then the digital version is called Digipacks. It's just a digital download. Mm-hmm. And then getting into the charting and sales. So as of 9/18 yesterday, it was number one on the global Spotify daily chart with 5.5 million streams, which ties it with, and this is specifically Shut Down, that ties it with Pink Venom as the longest running number one K-pop song. And then Born Pink as an album topped the Apple Music charts in 60 different countries. And as far as sales, they had over 2 million pre-orders, which is the first female K-pop act to achieve this. And then they sold an additional 1 million copies, according to Hanteo, within the first 12 hours of release day.
Wow.
So I mean, roughly 3 million, yeah, as of this recording, and potentially longer because they have obviously not calculated the physical sales from stores.
Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah.
Okay.
Blackpink in your area.
Blackpink in your area. Okay, so let's move into our overall impressions. Why don't we stay on Blackpink and then return to 127? So, okay. Anyone have any overall impressions that they wanted to share about Shut Down?
Yes, Ashley, go first.
I think Shut Down was an instant bop. I love it.
Yes, agreed. I agree.
It, like, upon first listen, it was really good. It's not a grower like Pink Venom. Mm-hmm. I love it. I also think that all of the songs on the album are very good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're all bops. I mean, most of them are upbeat, except that one really slow song that's, like, very melodramatic. I forget the name of that song. Hard to Love. Hard to Love.
Yeah.
Yeah. Other than that, like, all the songs are really good. I do agree that I was disappointed with the album, the amount of songs in the album. Because, like you said, two of the songs were the releases, the pre-release and the title, and then one song was the PUBG song
that they released.
So in reality, there's only five new songs.
Yes.
Okay. So that's a
that's a mini album.
That is a mini album.
I wish there were more songs, but if you think about it, like, the definition of a Blackpink mini album is two songs, and this is four times that.
So you're getting
It's a full-length album.
Yes. You have to adjust your standards and expectations as far as quantity.
Blackpink. For sure. Yeah. With YG, I think, in general.
Yeah.
Yes. It's interesting that you say that Blackpink is going to go on a tour for 1 year, like, from start to finish, 1 year. And it just goes to show, like, how... how do I say this nicely? Well, I've said this in the past that Blackpink is very efficient when they release music. Like, they release very little music and get, like, maximum exposure
for it.
When you say that they're going to go on tour for 1 year, that's just continuing on their maximum exposure for this album.
Yes.
The last thing I'll say is about their title, Shut Down. Although I think it's a bop, I think that there's the message of the song, like, the meaning behind the song, is basically the same thing that they've been saying in every single title track. Like, how many times can you say, I'm so fucking cool, like, I'm the baddest? You know what I mean?
A million times.
Yeah, they just...
I mean, but clearly it is a common theme that people are going for.
Yeah, I mean, it's their concept. That's, like, that's who
they
are.
It is their concept.
But, like...
Yeah, they're the coolest girls ever.
Yeah, and they tell me that every single release.
And you're saying, and I believe what, you. So the message.
What do you want them to say?
I don't know, I guess. You don't. Like we've said before, we can never say that Blackpink is not true to themselves because they've been doing the same shit, like, since debut. So I don't know. Like, I know that the album does have different sides of them, and that's normally where you see the like, different versions of the members and, like, the different sides. But, like, I don't know. Like, although the actual music is really good, like, the message is just, like, yeah. Obviously, that's fine.
Okay. I thought that this was also an instant hit for me. I just love the violin mix that they came in with.
You would.
As someone that used to play the violin. So
I used to play the violin, too.
Oh, Casey.
Oh, yeah. Me three. Okay.
That's like an Asian
what?
Thing,
yeah.
Dude. Yeah.
Okay, great. So yeah, I used to play the violin, and I immediately like had heard that excerpt before, so it was mm-hmm. very appealing to me that it was mixed in with a pop song now. Yeah, I just thought that this was like a really solid release by them, like something that I would play. And I will be honest with everyone on the pod here. I'm going to be completely honest. I'm not like a Blink, right?
Yeah.
So when they release things, it doesn't, like, it's exciting. But let's say that, like, I didn't look for concert tickets, right? But actually, after this, I mean, it was too late. but I looked to see if there were any available. And I'm gonna keep my eye out. Because ultimately, Blackpink have stage presence. They have charisma. Mm-hmm. They put on a good show.
Yeah.
And, mm-hmm. like, I respect them.
Yeah,
the something girls. That I will say, and it kind of ties into something that Ashley said, is I get that they're extremely popular. And again, it's kind of like the same thing for me with BTS. Like, I just don't feel like they really need me. Like, they have so many fans, like, across the world that adore them.
Yeah.
And I guess, like, a problem that I have with them as a group, and maybe it's more of my problem with or issue with their record company. So I just, like, it's hard for me to fathom that they are such in an outlier queen status of K-pop, but they're not active.
Oh.
And so it's like, just very, I mean, I get it. Like, when they're back, like, they're influencers, like, they never lose relevance.
Yeah.
That's, I guess, YG just, privilege.
I guess it just puzzles me a little bit. So, yeah, I don't really know where I was going with that. But I feel like that's something that we can't ignore.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they have a very strong Western appeal because of, like, their fashions, the song content. Because, you know, like, globally... And maybe just Western audiences mostly. We love a bad bitch anthem.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You look at our charts.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of
mm-hmm.
the songs are straight up bad bitch anthems.
Yeah.
And that's what Blackpink delivers. And it's a palatable K-pop for the average Western audience. Like, everyone I know, like, when they hear of a K-pop girl group, like, they think of Blackpink. And these are locals. Like, this is my manager who doesn't listen to K-pop.
Yeah.
So it's either, if you're thinking of a boy group, it's BTS. If you're thinking of a girl group, it's Blackpink. Do you know any other girl groups? No, I don't. There's too many of them in groups. Blackpink only has four. That's easy to keep up
yeah.
with. It's easy on the eyes. Their bad bitch anthems are recognizable and familiar to a global audience. It works.
And it does work.
It doesn't, and it is, I can understand the frustration for other fandoms that a group can not be active for 2 years and then come back and just dominate. But, I mean, that's kind of the reality we live in now. That's how BTS works. That's how Blackpink works. And I don't know, I don't have a solution to it.
And I don't either. I've just come to accept it. But I'm just,
yeah, me too.
I was just saying, like, it's just very puzzling to me.
Yeah.
So I got the tour dates just for everyone's information. So they're touring 13 countries, 33 total concerts, starting in October 15th and then going up until end of June 2023.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah. It's a lot
Eight
of...
months.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I'm so glad that they could do it. I'm so glad that they could do it. Right? Yeah. Okay. Any final thoughts on this release? Not polarizing at all. I think it seems like
not polarizing.
It's a hit. I think
it's a hit. It's a bop certified. Idol Talk certified bop.
No questions asked. Like, wipe our hands clean. We're done. Like, yes. You know. Okay, then let's go back to baddies.
I'm gonna
Casey.
Just yeah. I knew from the teasers that I was not going to like this song. Aspects of the music video I liked are obviously the visuals. I love Haechan's hair. Yes. I love the parts where they were shirtless and had just like neon paint over them. That was really an attractive period of the music video. Obviously, Taeyong, I love everything he does visually. But I cannot get over this chorus. I can't get over how, and I know this about NCT 127 that their title tracks are like this. But I loved Sticker. I loved it, and I loved. Actually, I was just gonna say I love Kick It, but I changed my mind about Kick It. I loved it, and then now I hate it.
Right.
I don't know if I'm gonna come to love Two Baddies. I can't promise that I will. It's not a grower for me.
Please don't overexert yourself.
You know what? Thank you for releasing me. I won't.
Yes. Yeah. I totally feel you, Casey. And so originally when I listened to it, I was like, I just don't know. And I say this from a position of like, I'm an end citizen. Like,
yes. Through and through.
Through and through, like,
I... Like, bear me with my neobong type of...
Correct. Like, I'm
a member of the NCT 127
correct.
Fan...
Correct, yes.
Like, official member
right.
of the fan club. And I will stan. Right. But the title tracks are hard for me. I always love their B-sides.
Guaranteed. The title tracks are hard for me. And like I said, like, I didn't come to terms with Cherry Bomb for years after... years. And I guess like this question of NCT's title tracks always comes up like every single time they release.
Yeah.
Like, why don't they, for me, their strength is vocals.
Yeah.
Like, that's what they can do. They could do traditional K-pop dance. They can do something like Baddies, but something that really highlights it for me is like just like classic pop, like Favorite. For me was really good.
Yeah.
Not polarizing mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. thing. But then I thought when you compared Sticker to Favorite, Sticker was polarizing and everyone talks about Sticker, not Favorite. Right? Mm-hmm. This aggressive, more really, really louder hip hop release, such as Two Baddies, is getting 60 million views like in less than a week.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I guess, like, for them, what do they do?
All news is good news, I guess.
I mean, a little bit, right? Like, they know that this is going to sell. They know that this is going to generate, like, excitement. It's going to get people talking about it. Mm-hmm. It's not a standard release. Like, Favorite was really good.
Yeah.
But less people were talking about it because, dare I say, it was less, quote-unquote, loud and standout-ish.
Yeah.
So from a producing point and from a artist perspective, yeah, you want to be true to your strengths. You want to be true to what you want to do. And I hope that they're doing that as 127. But they also have to think about what is going to get them clicks because they're idols at the end of the day. So yeah, I was just like, okay, how come they don't go with their strengths again? And then, like, I always come back to kind of thinking about, like, oh, well, it's because the 127 fandom ultimately also really likes this stuff.
They like the dental drill to the head.
Quotes, whatever, geek.
Yes, it was a quote.
Yes,
that's not, I mean, like, the Idol Talk stance.
That is not our stance. But for the lack of a better word, like, 127 folks, they do like that. And they have come to almost expect it from them.
I think I have come
to kind of expect it from them. Like, this is a Kick It release.
Yeah.
This is a cherry bomb release. Like, it just goes right into what they've been
their sound
doing.
Something I saw that was said a lot in the comment section. I like to look at the comment section of videos to get, like, a little temperature check how the fandom is doing.
Absolutely.
And a common sentiment I saw was, like, if you don't like the NCT sound, like, you're not a real N citizen. And, like, I guess the common thread was that this is their sound. But I guess my issue is that I love the B-sides so much, I can't reconcile in my head that this is their sound.
I wouldn't say that this is NCT sound specifically. This is
127.
Yeah. It's 127,
127 sound. I would say that this is more like a strategy of SM as a whole.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we've seen this in,
they like to do things out of the box.
Yeah.
Like
Zimzala Beam.
Here we go again. How many years has this pod opened?
That haunts me. That song is my cherry bomb. Like, I still can't get over how bad it is.
I can't get over it either. Well, and give it a fucking Red Velvet stand.
Yeah, maybe give it one more year. I don't know.
But that's just okay.
So, I mean, but yeah, because people were talking about it.
Right.
Right? Like, we're still talking about it to this day, right? So.
But is that all that matters? Like, what if I was a new person coming into, like, NCT or NCT 127, and this was my first exposure? Like,
yeah, how do you do it?
Risk?
How do you break higher? In?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Like, if I heard the song, I don't think it would push me to listen to the B-sides. However, because I know what 127 is like after years of stanning, I know, okay, it's not for me, but I know I'm going to love the rest of the album.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's a hard thing to answer. Because, like,
yeah.
I mean, it does seem like 127 is growing a lot in popularity. So these type of polarizing songs are working for them in some sense.
It is.
Yeah.
The amount of
vocal time that Tael has in the title track is directly proportional to how good the rest of the album will be.
Okay, Tael's in.
Just kidding. No, I'm actually kind of half serious. He got like 2 seconds.
Yeah.
I'm not caping for him. I'm just saying.
Right. So just really quickly on... So I had saw a lot also that, you know, this is NCT's, this is 127 sound. Like, this is just kind of what they're doing. Like,
yeah.
I agree with that, but I also don't agree with that in the similar vein, like Ashley, because if you look at the majority of the stuff that they're releasing in this album, it doesn't sound like two baddies.
Yeah.
So it might be that certain title tracks have gone down the same path, but at the end of the day, what they're going to be known for me is, yes, the last track. What was the last track on the album called?
127.
Yeah, the 127 one, right? They're going to be known, like, Automatic Love, like, for me, was, and this is my favorite song on the album, Black Clouds.
Me too. Well, like, it's not my favorite, but I love it.
But, like, that is, for me, that is 127 sound.
Yeah.
Because they can do it. And that's actually what separates them from the rest of the industry.
Yeah.
Boy groups are doing two baddies. Like, that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
In boy group world right now. Right? But what sets 127 aside for me is something like Black Clouds. A little bit softer. A little bit more earwormy, right? My other favorite on the album is LOL. So.
Yeah.
I like Time Lapse.
Yeah. So is it their sound? Like, as a whole, it's not really, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But they still do it, of course.
Yeah.
But anyways, any final thoughts on either of these releases?
Yeah, I have one. And I swear it's related. So I watched this video on YouTube, and the title of the video was "Why Are Boy Groups Flopping in 2022?" And they listed, ooh, like, obviously clickbait title, which is why I clicked it. And it's true.
Yeah.
Like, boy groups are flopping.
Relatively. Yeah. Relatively.
Overall. Like, you look at IVE, you look at, like, Twice, you look at Blackpink, like, all of their songs are, all of the charts
right.
Girl songs, girl group songs.
New Jeans.
New Jeans, exactly. And boy group songs are not charting at all. And one of the reasons why they say this is because of the reasons why, of the reasons why we describe 127 and Blackpink the way we did. Boy groups as a whole release songs that are more polarizing. So upon first listen, they're not good, which happened with me with Two Baddies. Like, upon first listen, I posted on our Instagram, like, this song is bad. And then 24 hours later, I was like, this song is still bad, but it's tolerable now. Like, it took me 3 days since release to be like, this song is a fucking bop. Like,
Ashley, I never told you not to over exert yourself. I only gave that permission to Casey. So, yeah,
and I won't be.
Yeah. And in contrast, the Blackpink title and, like, the whole album were, upon first listen,
just right away,
so good. Yeah. And so you see that reflected in, like, the entire industry. Like, IVE and all their title tracks, New Jeans, and pretty much every single one of their singles, like, they're all very good.
Sneaker, I mean, ultimately, Sneakers was doing really well. Feel My Rhythm is doing really well. G-Idle is just Fearless. One after the other. Fearless, one after the other.
Yeah.
This year. Forever One is still charting.
Forever One, yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, this is, we're living in, I mean, we've said this the last couple of years, but this is the year of the girl groups.
And I don't know why boy groups continue to, like, release songs that are so polarizing. Like, obviously for 127, that's just their MO. Like, they do this every single time and we expect it.
But it's not just them.
It's not. It's Stray Kids. It's, like, pretty much everyone else.
I mean, even, like, dare I say, like, Hot 17 is probably polarizing to, like, the general public. Not to Carrots, just, like, people listening to Korean music.
Yeah.
Like, it's more aggressive. Versus their repackage was very melodic, it was soft, it was much more traditional, much more, like, earworm right away.
Yeah.
But when they really came back, they were like, oh, I gotta bang on some stuff, basically. And tell people that I'm back.
Pots and pans.
Right?
Yeah.
Pots and pans, exactly.
So.
No, that's a good observation.
It's interesting times.
Yes, it's interesting times. I say overall, though, this was like a really whirlwindy week. Like, we had a lot going on with Blackpink, and then, I mean, in the same week, if you're getting 127, which is one of the biggest boy groups currently, then we're in for a whirlwind. But listeners, let us know what you thought of both of these releases. We are on Instagram at Idol Talk Pod. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us on all of our major podcast directories and streaming platforms. If you have any feedback or content that you'd like us to cover, email us at idoltalkpod@gmail.com. And also visit our content directory, idoltalkpod.uu.ai, where you'll see all of our previous episodes categorized and information about us. And it could be found in our description of the episode here. We'll leave you with that. Shut down, Two Baddies. We'll leave you all to be the judge. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see y'all later. Bye-bye.
Bye.